So this morning, we're continuing in our Foundations in Genesis series. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Genesis chapter 23. And if you're using the church Bible, Genesis chapter 23 starts on page 18. I don't think I have to say it, but there's a lot going on in our world today, right? I'm not going to try to list everything. But there are a couple of things. We have a war going on in Europe where one country has invaded another for no other reason than they wanted to. And in this country, we seem to have a group that their only response to anyone that doesn't agree with them is violence. Sin and injustice seem to be the norm. It seems like evil is taking over. And you know, when we think about this, it could be easy for some people to doubt the promise that God gave us through Paul of a new earth in which righteousness dwells. It might be hard to keep hold of that promise. But you know, there are many times in the Old Testament when the Israelites probably felt the same way. After their exodus from Egypt, first, they thought they were going to be killed by the Egyptian army. Then they thought they were going to starve to death. And then they were exiled in Babylon for 70 years. And I'm sure that most, if not all of them, wondered if they'd ever see their homeland again. So it was in that context that God's people in the Old Testament would have heard the story of Abraham and Sarah. They heard about God calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans and promising that he would make him a great nation. And it was long after Abraham and Sarah were capable of having children that God blessed them with a son. And when Isaac was born, God's promise to make Abraham a great nation had begun to be fulfilled. However, when God called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, he also promised to give him the land that he would show him. So when Abraham got to the land of Canaan, God said to him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, "To your descendants I will give this land." And in chapter 13, verse 17, God told Abraham to arise and walk about the land through its length and breadth, "For I will give it to you." And God said in Genesis chapter 15, verse 7, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." So God repeated his promise to give Abraham land several times. And in our passage this morning, we're going to learn how God began fulfilling that promise. So let's read through Genesis chapter 23. "Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham rose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, 'I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight.' The sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, 'Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our graves. None of us will refuse you his grave for burying your dead.' So Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, 'If it is your wish for me to bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and approach Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave at Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of his field, for the full price. Let him give it to me in your presence for a burial site.' Now Ephron was sitting among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, even of all who went in at the gate of his country, saying, No, my Lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the presence of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. And Abraham bowed before the people of the land. He spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you will only please listen to me, I will give the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Then Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, My Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between me and you? So bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standard. So Ephron's field, which was in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field that were within all the confines of its border, were deeded over to Abraham for a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded over to Abraham for a burial site by the sons of Heth. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for just loving us the way you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we thank you for your promises. We pray as we look through the story of Abraham and Sarah, her burial, and we pray that we see what you're trying to teach us here. We pray that you open our eyes to understand what your word is showing us about our future. Father, we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when you read through this chapter, you might think it's simply about Sarah's death and burial. But we'll see that it's actually about a lot more than that. Now, I've broken this chapter into three sections for us to look at, and the first one is Abraham mourns for Sarah. Verse 1 says, Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Now this verse is what is known as an inclusio, which is when the writer says the same thing at the beginning and at the end of a statement. And they do that to show the importance of what they're saying. So Moses said, Sarah lived, and the life of Sarah, which in Hebrew is literally the life of Sarah, the life of Sarah. So Moses did this so that the reader's attention would be focused on Sarah, on her age. She's the only woman whose lifespan was recorded in the Bible. And he wanted his readers to focus on her importance to Israel. Sarah was the mother of Israel. And verse 2 tells us that Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Abraham grieved over the death of Sarah. This verse says he went in to mourn and also to weep for her. Now, using those two terms together, that suggests that Abraham didn't just cry. He didn't just cry out loud. But he probably carried out some of the other traditional mourning customs of that time period. He probably tore his clothing. He cut his beard, scattered dust on his head, and fasted. That indicates that he did a lot more than just cry. But you know, some people think that believers shouldn't do that. They shouldn't cry. They shouldn't mourn when somebody they love dies, because they know they're in heaven. And they know that they're going to see them again one day. But that's not true. God made us with the ability to cry. Grieving is one of God's gifts to help heal broken hearts when we lose someone we love. But when believers grieve, It should be different than the grieving of the unbelievers who have no hope. And that's why Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who fall asleep in Jesus." When believers grieve, it should look different than the grieving of the unbelievers, because we know that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave. And because of that, we know that we're going to rise again and we're going to be with him for all eternity. Well, Sarah believed what the Lord had promised her. And the writer of Hebrews referred to that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, when he said, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised." Sarah died in faith. So Abraham knew that she was with the Lord. Now, the Old Testament doesn't say very much about the afterlife. But God's people knew that God would receive them when they died. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 73, verse 24. "With your counsel, you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory." So they knew that when they died, they'd be with the Lord. Now, we can't mourn over someone who died forever. At some point, we need to accept what happened. We need to face life and meet our obligations. And that's what we see Abraham doing in the second section, where it says Abraham negotiates with the Hittites. Now, because he wasn't a citizen of Canaan, Abraham had to ask for a place to bury his wife. And this is what it says in verses 3 and 4. "Then Abraham rose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, 'I am a stranger and sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight.'" See, Abraham was so sure that his descendants would occupy that land that he wanted Sarah's bones to be there when they got there. Abraham believed God's promise for the future. And that's why the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, "By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." So just like Abraham, Christians today are foreigners, strangers in a foreign land, excuse me. This world, this isn't our home. We live in temporary bodies which are like tents. But one day we're going to receive a glorified body. We're going to have a body just like the one that Jesus now has in heaven. And that's what Paul was explaining to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. He said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself." So Abraham asked the Hittites to give him some property to bury Sarah. And they responded to him in verses 5 and 6. The sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, "Hear us, my lord, you are a mighty prince among us. But your dead, bury your dead in the choicest of our graves. None of us will refuse you his grave for burying your dead." So they referred to Abraham as a mighty prince. And by doing that, they're showing some respect for Abraham. Somehow he'd earned their respect. They've offered Abraham any one of their choicest tombs, which seemed to be very generous, but there are probably some strings attached to that. But either way, Abraham refused that offer. And in verses 7 through 13, Abraham offers to buy a specific piece of land. So I'm going to read through verses 7 through 13 again. So Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, "If it is your wish for me to bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and approach Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave at Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence for a burial site." Now Ephron was sitting among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, even of all who went in at the gate of his city, saying, "No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the presence of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead." And Abraham bowed before the people of the land. He spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, "If you will only please listen to me, I will give the price of the field. Accept it from me that I may bury my dead there." So in spite of his three I gives, Ephron was actually extorting Abraham. Abraham knew that. See, all Abraham wanted was the cave, but Ephron threw in the field. You know, more land, more money. And in verses 14 through 18, shows us that Abraham buys the land. Here's what it says. Then Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, "My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between me and you? So bury your dead." Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standard. So Ephron's field, which was in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field and cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field, that were within all the confines of its border, were deeded over to Abraham for a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. So 400 shekels, that equals about 6.25 pounds of silver. It's a lot of silver. And that was most likely a highly inflated price for that piece of property. See, Ephron had Abraham in a corner and he knew it. Sarah had to be buried soon. And Ephron had the only piece of property that met Abraham's needs. So Abraham agreed to buy both the cave and field even before Ephron named the price. But Abraham got what he wanted. The deal was negotiated and finalized in front of a lot of witnesses, so no one could question his ownership of that land. And he paid the overinflated price. He didn't try to negotiate the price. And he paid that so that no one could say he didn't pay a fair price for the property. Abraham now owned a piece of the promised land. Then verse 19 records the burial of Sarah. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field at Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So Moses emphasizes here that Sarah was buried in the land of Canaan, that is the promised land. And because he bought the land, Abraham didn't have to bury Sarah in a Hittite grave that would soon be forgotten. He was able to bury her on his very own property in the promised land. And then verse 20 summarizes the significance of this story for the people of God in the Old Testament. Verse 20 says, "So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded over to Abraham for a burial site by the sons of Heth." So God's promise to Abraham that all the land of Canaan would be his, it was starting to become fulfilled. The field with the cave at Machpelah represented the whole of Canaan. And then later on, we see that Abraham will be buried next to Sarah. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 25, verses 9 and 10. "Then his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave at Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, facing Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. And then later than that, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Leah would also be buried in that cave. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 49, verses 29 through 32. It says, "Then he, Jacob, charged them and said to them, 'I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought along with the fields from Ephron the Hittite for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. There they buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah. And there I buried Leah, the field and the cave that is in it, purchased from the sons of Heth.'" And then finally, centuries later, under Joshua's leadership, that's when God fulfilled his promise. He gave the whole promised land to Abraham's descendants. God always keeps his promises. Jesus, who Matthew described as the son of Abraham in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus was born in Canaan. But Jesus' vision of the promised land, it was a lot bigger than Canaan. God told him in Psalm 2, verse 8, "Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession." So Jesus expanded God's promise of land from the land of Canaan to the whole earth. And he declared in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." But just like Abraham and Israel, God's people today, us, we're going to have to wait for that final fulfillment of God's promise. I'm going to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews said in chapter 11, verses 9 through 14, "By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own." That's what Christians are looking for. Christians today are still seeking for a homeland, for a country of their own, the new earth. This world that we live in is full of sin and violence. John tells us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, that when we're with God, he'll wipe away all of our tears. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, crying, or pain. That's the future that we're waiting for. But for now, we still experience death. We still experience mourning, crying, and pain. But just as Abraham buried Sarah in Canaan, and he buried her in the hope of receiving the promised land, so through Jesus, we can bury our loved ones in the earth in the hope of receiving the new creation. How do we know that God can be trusted to keep his promise? Well, God's given us a down payment. Just like he gave Abraham a piece of the promised land, God gave Israel the first fruits of a gravesite in the promised land. God has given his church the first fruits of an empty tomb. tomb. God's down payment on this promise of a new creation is Jesus' resurrection. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each under his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that, those Christ the first fruits, after that, those who are Christ's at his coming." For those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, God has given them victory over death. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, "But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." The hope of all Christians is that we will see the fulfillment of God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth. And God's down payment for the Christian is the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have a sure hope that we're going to be with him for all eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message this morning. We thank you for this reminder that you've already begun to fulfill your promise to us. Thank you for the example you used in Abraham and Sarah to show us that. Father, we pray that we never lose sight, no matter what happens here on this earth, that we never lose sight of your promise, that we always stay focused clearly on Jesus, that we never, never forsake him and never doubt your promises, Father. We thank you for giving us your word so that we can go back and remind ourselves of these promises if we should forget. Just thank you for loving us so much that you don't let us just sit here. You give us the opportunity to spend eternity with you if we just choose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.